The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
The weather is warming up and the birds are singing and the trees are about to bloom. In our first segment, Julio and I will discuss early flowering trees and the best choices for your yard.
It's time to plant those early, cool season vegetables. We'll tell you what you can plant to get your spring off to a healthy start.
We received a text on the Bloomers in the Garden hotline from the groundskeeper from the Kentucky Governor's Mansion. He was having an issue with weeds and insects. We called a friend, Steve Leland, from the regional representative from VPG. You'll hear all about it in our third segment.
Next up, Debbie called the hotline with a question about her lawn. You'll hear all about it in our fourth segment.
Continuing off of Debbie's call, we're going to tell you what power equipment gives you the best results when seeding your lawn.
So stay tuned, and we'll be back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880, and we'll see you in the garden. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix with EcoPete is the perfect ready-to-use potting mix for all your succulents. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix is a blend of sphagnum peat moss, perlite, and EcoPete. EcoPete is a natural wood fiber from peat bogs. When added to Fertilome peat moss, it produces a superior professional substrate with an exceptional ratio of air porosity and water holding capacity. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix will ensure maximum drainage with ideal water retention. It's simply the best succulent mix on the market. Ask for Fertilome by name at your local garden center. Available at Daniels Garden Center, Sumneytown Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. Gasper's Home and Garden, 316 Tanyard Road, Richboro, PA. Smeltzer & Son Feed Supply, Route 9, Cape May, New Jersey. Mastardi Nursery, Chester Pike, Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. Bloomers Home & Garden Center, Herfel Cross Keys Road, Washington Township, New Jersey. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home & Garden Center is dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds. We carry a flock of feeders like the Brome Squirrel Proof Feeder, which has a lifetime guarantee. Brome makes fantastic feeders for frustrating squirrels and feeding songbirds. Bloomers Bird Sanctuary has a vast selection of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. We carry Lyric, Cole, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and our own line called Bloomers Blend. Bloomers Blend Songbird Magnet contains premium black oil sunflower, peanut splits, millet, safflower, and tree nuts. It's sure to attract the most colorful songbirds to your yard. Bloomers Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County, New Jersey. Visit us online at www.bloomers.com. When you come in, ask for Shirley Spurbeck, Bloomers Wild Bird Specialist. Mention you heard it on Bloomers in the Garden Radio, and we'll give you $10 off a 20-pound bag of Bloomers Blend Songbird Magnet Mix. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome, everybody, to Bloomers in the Garden. Len, the biggest fireworks show is about to begin.
Sure is.
Yes, early flowering trees are about to blossom. Wondering which ones you should consider planting in your yard? We're going to tell you about that.
Yep. So trees flower. The majority of the ones that everybody gets excited about, they flower first before they get their leaves.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure that that happens or else you're getting the later flowering, like, late spring, like a Coosa dogwood, for instance. Right. Coosa dogwood, Korean dogwood, they get their leaves and then their flowers appear. And that there's other trees that are like that too. But we're talking about the first flowering trees, like redbuds.
Redbuds, oh yes. Yeah. That's probably one of my top.
Is it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Redbuds where they're small, little, tiny flowers that trace the branches, and it almost creates like an outline of the branches.
Awesome.
There's a white, which, it's all right.
It's all right.
It's white, so it's not like as, I guess, a show like the that pinky mall. It's like a purpley pink color, like magenta almost, right?
Yeah.
Like like you throw purple and magenta together and a dash of pink. Mm-hmm. That's what you get. And it flowers real, real early. Mm. Purple leaf plums, been around forever.
Yes.
But they still, when they're in flower, and they're breathtaking.
Yes, they are.
They get to be about 25, 30 feet.
Yes.
Probably
it's stunning.
Height and width, but that's over time. Mm-hmm. And that they're just a real good tree because of their ornamental value. After they flower, they have that bright, that deep red leaf.
Yeah, it's kind of coppery, purplish kind of.
Yep, and where you have a house that's maybe like beige colored siding, or you have even white.
White,
I mean, jump.
Cool.
They just jump in the yard.
Now, would you say it's like a pinkish flower? Like
pink flower, single pink flower. Very nice. And if we get some cold weather and wind, it's going to be a little shorter lived, but that doesn't happen too often.
Yeah. That's good.
One of the trees that I'm not, that's lost favorite, it used to be planted everywhere, Bradford pears,
right.
And that they're called calorie pears, or they're called there's also the Cleveland Select is a better variety. But what's happened is that those were planted everywhere, and they got to be this beautiful shape. Yeah. And then when they got real big, the places where, if everybody's looking on YouTube, you'll see where I'm putting my wrists together, where the crotch point at the branch got too heavy and that they would split. Mm. Large branches were like raining down on cars and all kinds of things. So they have now Cleveland Select, and there's more of the upright varieties, which are better, but they're not as, like, the old varieties had that look where it was a, looked like a spade, big spade from the distance, but there you can't find them because they've all split.
We have a high school right next to us. They had a whole line of them. They're gone.
All of them gone?
All gone.
There you go. So,
yeah.
Quans and cherry.
Oh, boy.
Quans and cherry is a double flowering cherry.
Beauty.
And that they have also been around a long time. Could be used as a street tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like it because it is such a show.
It is.
Now, it also puts on a show when all of those heavy-petaled flowers drop.
That's right.
Banana peels come to mind.
That's right.
They're just stunning when they're in bloom. They bloom a little bit later than some of the other varieties that we mentioned.
Right, they do.
But it still should be considered spring, early spring.
It is stunning,
Great trees. There's not many insect issues with them or disease problems. So
about 20 by 20, you think?
At least.
Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got some that are old. I mean, the trunks are almost 2 foot around.
Oof.
They're old and that their canopy is every bit of 20, 25 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. And that
awesome.
They're almost wider than they are tall. So
yeah, sure.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
What else do you have, Julio?
Oh, you know, I'd say my second favorite is a flowering crab apple.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Prairie fire.
Oh, my goodness. Prairie you talk about fire. A show, folks.
Beautiful. And everybody thinks crabble. Oh, I don't want them apples. All
yeah,
over.
I don't want the apples.
Apples are like the size of cherries. You know, they're not big.
No.
The birds eat them in the fall, and it's not an issue. Mm-hmm. It's not a maintenance issue.
No,
it's not like the old days, like a crab apple was, you know, I don't know, like the size of a Super Bowl. You know, now they're like just tiny. But mm-hmm. the vibrancy and the colors have of the crab apples are amazing. And
they're
weeping
amazing.
Crab apples.
Oh, weeping, yes.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, I'm going to show off. I have a weeping crab apple that hangs gracefully over my pond.
Really?
Yeah,
nice.
Uh-huh. It's really, it is just.
Now, how tall is that one?
Not big.
No?
15 feet, maybe?
That's it, yeah. Because the other ones are about 20.
Yeah.
20, 25.
Yeah, all of these are almost the same size.
Yeah,
the pear gets bigger. That gets to be about 35. But the crab apples and purple leaf plums, mm-hmm. Even the red buds, they're mm-hmm. between that 15 to 25 foot range.
Yeah, it's great for landscaping, you know, and even small areas, right?
Yep. Yep. Magnolias.
Oh, yeah.
Saucer. These mm-hmm. are saucer magnolias,
mm-hmm.
not the southern magnolia.
Yeah.
And that's the one that does bloom early. You hope that it's like towards the last frost, because mm-hmm. if they do open up and they get that frost, they talk about banana peels, that they can get that brown look on their leaves. And the flowers are so big, I'm cupping my hand. By the way, if you go on YouTube, you'll notice that my beard jumped from my face onto Julio's.
You see
that on YouTube?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Julio's growing a goat.
Yes, I am.
Anyway, magnolias have real heavy flowering petals.
Yes, they do.
And that they're just a beautiful tree.
Mm-hmm. The Royal Star is a beauty, isn't it?
Royal Star is earliest of them all, and that is a white flower.
Uh-huh.
Anne and Betty are more of the purple, and then there's Salesiana, which is the I don't even see it grown that much in the trade anymore, but that's the one that has a little bit of white at the base.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Anne is
a beauty, too.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
Just stunning.
Yeah, it's reddish-purple and then on the outside and then white in the inside.
Yep.
Yeah, they're awesome. I mean, you know, and they have fragrance, too. That's another thing.
They do.
Yep, they're gorgeous.
They do.
Do you have a magnolia in your house?
No, we have one at Bloomers.
Oh, yeah.
Right by the barn.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Right
by the way, it's gigantic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's huge.
It's big.
Yeah, it's a beauty.
Now, an honorable mention goes to dogwood,
mm-hmm.
but it's, again, like we talked at the top of the show, we were talking about Korean dogwoods after they bloom. These are the Florida types that they bloom first, and then they get their leaves. And, again, there's nothing like a really nice dogwood, but it can have some disease problems.
Issues.
But if you go and you ask for part of the Stellar Rutgers series, where it's a cross between a Florida and a Coosa, then you can get the pinks and you can get whites and you can get other colors and not risk having the anthracnose and some of the other problems that the regular Florida variety has.
Wow.
I don't know who. Favorite out of the list? You still holding on to Redbud?
Oh, I tell you what, Len, I just love the Redbud.
Yeah.
Yeah, and followed by the crabapple.
Yeah, see, I was going to go crabapple.
Were you? It's a close.
That prairie fire is so pretty when it's in bloom because the color is so unique.
It is gorgeous. It is. You know, I just love when the flowers are out and the leaves are still not coming out.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's coming.
it's coming.
It's already started. We saw our first daffodils today blooming.
Yes, we did, yes.
So life is good.
It is good.
All right. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. and we'll see you in the garden.
Are you looking forward to a spring of vibrancy while using the best organically approved growing media for your annuals and vegetables? Coast of Maine's Sprout Island Organic Seed Starter has been created to set a diverse culture ideal for germinating seeds and root cuttings. Created using the best ancient composting techniques and new age mixing devices, Sprout Island Organic Seed Starter gently combines kelp meal, worm castings, mycorrhizae, perlite, and sustainably harvested peat moss, establishing the most desirable setting to enhance new plant growth. Coast of Maine's Sprout Island Organic Seed Starter is available at these local retailers or visit www.coastofmaine.com to locate one near you.
Haynes Garden Center, Cinnaminson, New Jersey. Burlington Agway, Burlington, New Jersey. Sickles Market, Little River, New Jersey.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Let's eat.
Oh, yes.
It's time that vegetable garden gets going. Early season veggies are ready to plant.
All
so
set.
What do we need by early season veggies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not tomatoes, no. not peppers, not zucchini, not cucumbers. Now you know what not to plant. Mm-hmm. Lettuces like bib lettuce, right. Boston lettuce, leaf lettuce, a mescaline mix. Stop buying it in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Iceberg, romaine, red romaine.
Red romaine, yeah.
All lettuces can go in the ground. The only thing that would hurt them is if we have like severe winds, and that's only going to be the outer leaves. It's not going to ruin the head. Good. How about coal crops, Julio? Old King Cole? What's a coal crop?
Old King Cole, a cabbage, a kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, I like
Do you like Brussels sprouts?
Yes, my favorite.
How do you cook your Brussels sprouts?
You know, I cut them in half, and then I put them on the frying pan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You mix anything with them?
Oh, yeah. I put some herbs in there.
What herbs?
I put.
Come on. We want to know the recipe.
I put sofrito, Italian sofrito.
What is that? Oh, that's a meat, right?
No, it's an herb. It's got all kind of, onions, garlic. It's got everything in it. Didn't you ever see it?
No.
I had to bring some over for you.
And what's it called?
Sofrito.
Sofrito.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. With your Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Kohlrabi's on this list.
Oh, yeah.
You growing kohlrabi again?
Well, I'm going to because I'm going to expand my vegetable garden this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the way the food is.
The food prices in. Been to the grocery store lately?
That's right.
Cut your food bill.
Oh,
grow your own.
That's right. Expand.
That's right. You know, spinach, radishes, beets, mm-hmm. onion sets, or nice. Onion plants. An onion set is like a baby onion. That you put in and grows the Spanish onion usually.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do garlic, chives.
Yep, chives.
Chives.
I do chives all the time.
Chives. I do chives too. There's a certain amount of like parsley you could get away with, cilantro. There's a number of herbs that you could do now.
Yeah.
I I was hesitant putting the herbs in our list just simply because people can make the mistake and start putting in basil and basil like basil, you know, first time, you know, the cold sneezes below 40, it turns white, so you don't want that. Yeah. But there are others that you can do. I mean, certainly parsley can be
parsley,
done.
Yeah.
I miss my. I have window boxes. I've talked about this on the show. What I have, that's where I plant herbs and things. And I have not cooked as much.
No.
And I always like going out and getting fresh herbs, but my time is gone.
Right.
Yeah, that I have just a little bit of chives left.
Right.
But the thyme was what I made stews with.
Right. Oh.
So I didn't make that much in stew this winter at all.
Yeah.
At all. Do you know what you're going to plant yet?
I know I'm going to have kohlrabi. And I'm going to do lettuce also. I mean, I like the Boston and I like the romaine.
Right.
They're my favorite.
And with romaine, you can pick the leaves off of the side and it still keeps growing. You don't have to cut it like a head like you do with iceberg.
Right.
And the same with all the leaf lettuces. Uh-huh. And leaf lettuces, I mean, there's every kind of leaf lettuce where there's reds and there's the standard green leaf lettuce.
Right.
But with that mescaline mix, you get almost everything.
Everything. Oh, that's a nice one. Yeah. Just getting more and more is really the benefit of that.
Right. What about planting peas? You can plant peas now, too.
Yeah, I could, yeah.
I don't know. I just...
I'm
lazy.
Yeah, me too.
It's a lot of work.
I buy the frozen ones.
On that note, we're going to break.
Oh,
no, I'm going to yell at Julio.
No, go ahead. Call me. Call me on the hotline.
We'll be right back in the garden with our special guest, Steve Leland, right after this. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix with EcoPete is the perfect ready-to-use potting mix for all your succulents. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix is a blend of sphagnum peat moss, perlite, and EcoPete. EcoPete is a natural wood fiber from peat bogs. When added to Fertilome peat moss, it produces a superior professional substrate with an exceptional ratio of air porosity and water holding capacity. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix will ensure maximum drainage with ideal water retention. It's simply the best succulent mix on the market. Ask for Fertilome by name at your local garden center. Available at Daniel's Garden Center, Sumneytown Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. Gasper's Home and Garden, 316 Tanyard Road, Richboro, PA. Church's Garden Center and Farms, Seashore Road, Cape May, New Jersey. Collegeville Do It Best, Ridge Pike, Collegeville, Pennsylvania. County Line Nursery, Harleysville Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
We are back at Bloomers in the Garden. We received a text to the Bloomers in the Garden hotline from the groundskeeper from the Kentucky Governor's Mansion. The question was more commercial than homeowners, so we called in a buddy to the program, Steve Leland from VPG.
Welcome, Steve.
Hello, welcome. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I know that you are a groundskeeper, lawn guy deep in your heart, so this one is right up your alley. I'm going to read you his text message that he sent us. He said, "Hi, I'm a landscaper at the Kentucky Governor's Mansion, and last year our lawns were taken over by Bermuda grass, and we also have several landscape beds that have been taken over by winter creeper. I am just wondering how you all would suggest eradicating both. We used Pilex on the Bermuda grass and constant applications of Roundup on the creeper. Also, when is the best time to spray for boxwood leaf miners, and which product would you recommend? We use Safari. I've read that April is the best time to start controlling leaf miners, but I know that the leaves are full of the larva right now." All those products he named are commercial products that are, I don't know if any are restricted, pesticides from homeowners, but I know that they probably couldn't find them. What should he do?
Well, I can tell you, Lampilex, I did a little bit of research on that, and there are a couple states that it's questionable in reference to whether or not you can apply them in those specific states. But to answer his question regarding that product, I would recommend that he actually stay with Pilex to continue to use it. I think it's a great product to use specifically for Bermuda grass. It's namely used on goose grasses and also right. Bermuda grasses. And ideally, the best time to apply it is mid to late summer. And what they recommend is a 3 to 4 week interval, starting at that summertime,
right.
to apply it. And I've noticed there are a couple folks who I've talked to who have used this product. They say sometimes if you're having a hard time getting rid of the Bermuda grass, you can narrow that time frame. Instead of doing every 3 weeks, make it every 2 weeks, and you should be able to get rid of it.
I mean, Bermuda grass here in the Mid-Atlantic region is not an issue, but he's in Kentucky, and my first thoughts are that as a post-emergent, it's going to be pretty rough to control.
It is. It is a warm season grass, and I will tell you, like part of my territory, I work down in Virginia Beach area. Some folks, they like Bermuda grass, and they have that all throughout their property. In the northeast, up close to Philly, where you are,
right?
The problem with it is it's during the winter months. It's like right now, still, it's a brown kind of wiry looking grass that creeps on the surface of the soil, and it's just not attractive. And typically, for most homeowners, once it warms up, they forget they have it.
Okay.
And they just let it go because they forget about it. So, but like in his case, my thought was that if he's struggling with it, I would narrow that time of application, and then ultimately, if you're still struggling with it, that's where I would do the, I guess we could call it the nuclear option, where we're going with a glyphosate type product.
Right.
That would be my suggestion on that issue.
Yeah, right? I remember you gave me that suggestion one time because I had Kalinga all through my yard. And I killed everything, restarted, put down new seed. Everything looked great, and then the Kalinga came back. So now I have a Kalinga yard. I'm just living with it.
Yeah, sorry.
But it can be hard when you're trying to do post-emergent control. So, and he mentioned he had a problem with winter creeper. Now.
Right.
And that's a type of euonymus, I believe.
Yes, that is right.
And he was using Roundup with his glyphosate. Are you familiar with Ranger at all? I think it's basically a glyphosate.
It is. It's the exact same thing. We have various products. Like we have the exact same product with the same active, and ours is called Killzall.
Okay.
What I was going to recommend, if he's struggling with it, One of the products that we've been trying to promote and really sell to the customer is putting down it's a spreader sticker or it's a surfactant.
Yep.
So I think in many cases they're just putting this down. And if you ever notice when water hits, just even a flat surface, it beads.
Right.
So what these spreader stickers do is they flatten out that bead. So it doesn't just bubble on where it's being applied. It's spread throughout the leaf. So you really get a much more effective cover.
I've been told it basically breaks the water surface tension so that it flattens that water right out. And that's
correct. That's right.
And so that's where you get a total coverage, not droplets.
Right. That's right. So I was thinking of here two options. One, if he wants to stay with the Roundup, he can get the spreader sticker, and there's different kinds. We sell them too. And again, as I mentioned, we have what we call Killzall.
Right,
that,
and that's
that
a
product already had.
that's not a Fertilome brand. That is a VPG brand, or yeah, what?
High yield.
High yield.
Yeah, it's, yeah, we're a little confusing. We have three brands. We have Fertilome, Natural Guard, and High Yield, and that product falls under the High Yield brand.
Okay.
And the uniqueness with it to all else is the fact that it already has that surfactant in it.
Okay.
So it really sticks and does a great job. So that would be the big difference, and you know why obviously I would promote our product.
All right. And you have it available. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. I do this all the time. Sorry.
Okay.
But it's also going to be good for you because we need a glyphosate product. We have to reorder, and that I need to bring in a concentrate for two reasons. One, that we use it around the nursery, but also that I just want to get away from some of the generic. We have found that some of the generic glyphosate products were not effective, and that it would make them yellow a little bit, but always didn't kill them. So with this, the spreader sticker in Kills-All, that sounds like what I want. Now, it is available in a concentrate, right? I'm not going to have to buy just Windex bottles.
Yeah, we've got it in the Northeast. It seems like we call it ready to use, which is it just has a trigger spray,
right?
And then you have the ready to spray, which is the hose end. So we do have it in different flavors.
But a concentrate to where I can act like a mad scientist and put like 3 ounces
into
a gallon. Oh, good.
So I was going to add one additional thought to this. Once you typically get rid of the weeds and so forth, and the goal is you're trying to have them not come back.
Right.
That's where it'd be nice to put down a pre-emergent. We have what's called turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper. It's a Dimension product. Thiapure is the active ingredient. So once you've done your kill, so to speak, of that, in this case, the winter creeper, I think my advice would be, hey, consider putting down that pre-emergent.
Right.
Because it'll prevent that incursive weed to come back.
And especially like winter creeper is almost a woody type plant. So it's almost like a brush control.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe. But I don't know. I think that the Kills-All is the answer. And then we go to boxwoods. Now, boxwood leaf miner can be a major issue in certain states, just like how that where have they halted the sale of boxwood? I think it's New York State, where you have to get actually a certificate to be able to ship out of, like, say, New Jersey. You have to get a certificate that you can ship your boxwoods because they're clean, that they don't have any of the insects or diseases on them. They've really clamped down on specifically boxwood. Now, I'm not sure if this is what he's having a problem with, whether it's the miner or not. But what do you have that you would recommend?
Well, in his case, he can continue to use the Safari. There's a whole host of options here with VPG. I came up with actual 8 total products you could potentially use. I know he was asking a reference to should I start now since it's early or in April, even though we know they're active. I would recommend the one product that I like is our tree and shrub drench.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this product being a little bit controversial, which is your imidacloprid, which is, you know, that's probably for another day, I do believe that drench, it's super simple to use, and it's easy. It doesn't get all over you, but it's a drench. So you're mixing it with water in a bucket and you're dropping it around the plant itself. And it's the systemic, so the root structures are taking up that product. And then as the insects are feeding, they come in contact with the material and then eventually die. So that to me would be my first option. We have it in different flavors. You have it a liquid, which is that's the tree and shrub drench. We have it we call it a systemic insect granule, where it's just a granule and you just drop the granules around.
My favorite product is your azalea rhododendron fertilizer and insect control, because it controls right. all of those insects that people have, but they don't realize it. How come my azaleas right. are always yellow? It looks like there's little dots all over my leaves, and that's lace bug. Mm. And it's just easy to apply, and there's notches out of the leaves in my rhododendrons, you know, how, and I never see an insect, and it's Taxus weevil. They feed at night. You never see them. And that if you're using the drench or you're using the fertilizer and insect control, it's automatic. You never see it work, right. which is a good thing.
I was going to mention too, the organic side, because that's, I know there's a lot of folks that may frown from the tree and shrub drench. To me, my favorite product that we have on the organic side is Triple Action. It's neem. Yeah. It's a neem oil with a pyrethrin. So those two actives do a pretty darn good job.
Is it a true pyrethrin where it breaks down with sunlight, or is it a pyrethroid?
Yeah, it's a pyrethrin.
Okay,
is what it is. So it's the other nice feature with it. It gives you the fungicide and miticide effect. So I always call it, I call it, say you misdiagnose it, say you don't have leaf miner.
Right.
This will take care of whatever else it might be. And in some cases, I know when these things feed, they create an environment where the plant gets weak, and the next thing you know, you got other things going on.
Right.
So I do think the Triple Action is a real good one, because it's sort of all-inclusive. And that is true with the drench as well, but if you're wanting to go the organic side, I would push the Triple Action.
The biggest difference is you have to hit the insect, right? Because
you're spraying that on the leaf.
Right. Under the leaves where the insects may be hiding.
Right.
Yeah, it's, with organics, you have a harder job and that – I often have where people want to start organic, and I understand that, and that's fine. But you have to be diligent enough to reapply when you need to, and you have to get underneath of the leaves at the top and the bottom. You just have to do it right, and you'll be successful. And if you just think that it's going to be magic, that you just spray it on there and it works, it's probably not. And folks, the just because it's organic does not mean it's not going to kill bees. Okay? You still have to be smart. You're best to, you know, make sure that you're not just throwing stuff down, that you're actually looking for, like, for instance, don't spray your plants if, you know, say you have ilex and Japanese holly and they're coming into bloom and all of a sudden you're filled with honeybees. Don't go spraying. Just don't go spraying your shrubs. Just wait till those flowers fade and do it afterwards. You know, just everybody has to be smart. You have to be responsible and know a little bit more, especially when using organics, because you get this false sense of security that it's safe. And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Timing. Ooh. You should do it now, right? Don't wait.
Yeah.
For the leaf miner.
To me, right, yes. I think right now, especially the drench, is a perfect time to do it.
Yeah.
Weather's starting to warm up, and to me, that's do it now, just like you said.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, he has a larva now. Right now, he has a larva.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He says he sees it. So, yeah. And that where everybody in this area, go out by yourself, the azalea, rhododendron, broadleaf, and fertilizer with insecticide by Fertilome. And put it on all of your landscape plants, and you will have the nicest looking yard that you've had ever, because it controls those insects that you don't always see. Like people, bagworm is another one where, you know, everybody mm-hmm. sprays for bagworm at the wrong time. You need to spray for bagworm. Mm-hmm. Really, it's early summer. And that this has both of the drench products. And it's the imidacloprid products have a 3-month residual. Is that right?
Right. Yes.
So.
Yeah. Sometimes longer. So.
Yeah. So again, it's a perfect time to do it. The weather's nice, and it's a great time mm-hmm. to do it. All right. Well, Steve, you've been a big help, especially because the commercial side, I really don't know that much about. But he's on the right track by using both the Safari and the other products. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's fine. I would stay with the Pilex. I think it's a great product.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. I hope to see you at Bloomer soon. Are they letting you into the Mid-Atlantic region? I know you're up in New York and Long Island right now, right?
Yes, I am. Yep. So, I'll be by soon.
All right. So again, look on your local garden center shelves, and I want you to make sure you're looking for high yield and Fertilome products. And if you don't see them, ask somebody for them, because they are right now the hottest, the best technology. They're also a company where the products are made here in the United States, and it's owned by your local garden center collective. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, that's exactly accurate. Yep.
Right.
Yep. It's ironic. The people who we sell to actually own our business, and we work for them.
Yep. Yep. So it's a good thing. So you're doing the right thing, especially in this climate, let's just say. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, I've always felt, even though we're a 53-year-old firm, I always tell folks, as far as our business model, it's a great business model for our time.
It really is, especially when, like, I think a recent competitor has now been sold to an Israeli chemical company that's owned by a Chinese conglomerate. Oof, say that 10 times fast. Anyway.
I'm not going there.
No, you can't, but I can. I can. All right. Steve, thanks again, and I'll see you soon.
All right.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com. And we'll see you in the garden.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Yeah, that was Brett, everyone. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Uh-huh. Debbie called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline, and she asked what to do about her lawn. Julia, I heard that she asked directly for you.
Yes.
Yeah, that was nice.
She did, yeah.
Listen to what she had to say.
Hi, Julio. This is Debbie. I'd like to know if you should rake up your dead grass before you put down your fertilizer. Thank you.
That was quick.
Yeah. Well, Julio, I don't know.
Short and sweet, right?
Waiting for a callback,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I did speak to her, by the way.
You did?
Yeah,
what
I did.
What'd you guys talk about?
We talked about the thatching. She hasn't done it in a long time.
Okay.
Okay. And she wanted to use a rake. So first thing I said to her, how big is your lawn? She said, pretty big. So I said,
buy a pair of gloves.
Yeah, that's right.
Or else deal with the blisters.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I said, you know, it's going to take a while to do it that way.
Yeah.
And maybe a thatching rake would be better, but maybe you ought to go and rent a thatcher.
Right, right. A thatcher is, there are two types. There's a chisel type, which has like a metal, I don't know, how would you call it? It's like a metal blade. That bounces into the thatch and pulls it up. And then there's one that's like a, just like a wire, a metal rake, and that will dig into the surface. Now, some people set these too low. Have you ever had anybody do that? They come in, they say, oh, it didn't work. And what happens is that one, they put the metal tine one, and that where it's the one like a metal rake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they put that two row, and they break all the tines off. Yeah. So it's like just actually, it's just making noise. Or they put the other type too low, and that they are actually hinged. Mm-hmm. So when they actually go down too low, they're just bouncing on the grass surface and on the soil, not pulling any thatch out. So it's got to be, you have to do it just right. So that rakes through the grass plants and lifts that thatch out. It is important to do every 2 years or so. Thatch is not always a bad thing. Thatch can help in with drought tolerance for your lawn. But the key that she said was that before she fertilizes, a real heavy thatch layer suspends those particles of fertilizer in the thatch and they don't get to the soil. So the only thing that's releasing that is water. You know, and that where... It should be able to get to the crown of the grass plants.
Yeah, and it's not, right?
So every 2 years you're gonna thatch. And right. Like Julio said, gas powered thatcher is probably the best way to go.
Right,
you're still gonna need to rake up that thatch after you're done, but and remove it. And there are sprays. I don't buy into the sprays.
Right.
And what it does is the sprays are actually, it's the same chemical that you use. I said chemical. It's the same treatment,
right?
Because it's organic, that you spray in a pond to get rid of algae.
Oh.
And what it does, it rots that thatch layer that's closest to the soil. Mm-hmm. In theory, sounds great.
Bad.
Reality, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. So, again, getting the thatch up every 2 years is a good idea. Mm-hmm. And you'll be surprised. You may not put any fertilizer down. I've heard this a dozen times. I didn't put any fertilizer down, but as soon as I thatched, all of a sudden my lawn turned really green. Because what happens, that all that fertilizer that's stuck in the thatch layer falls onto the soil, it releases, and then, hey, look at that. It's amazing how great that works.
It is great.
So you just do it right.
Yeah.
All right. We do have a break. And then after that, we're going to be on the same topic of talking about seeding.
Sounds
and
good.
What type of power equipment to use then. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back, right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. and we'll see you in the garden.
You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Stoffers of Kissel Hill Home and Garden Store, Rorristown, Pennsylvania. Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania. Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. In our last segment, Debbie called the hotline and asked about raking out thatch. Now, if you need to seed, there are two pieces of equipment you need to rent to really help that the seed grow and become really a beautiful lawn.
That's right. All key. It all goes back to the soil, our favorite topic. Yep. You have to have soil and seed contact for your seed to grow, right?
Critical.
And like the fertilizer in the last segment we're talking about where it gets suspended in the thatch layer, same thing happens with grass seed.
Same thing.
And it may germinate, but because it automatically will soften the seed coat, and then it sends out a root hair first, and then the top, and then if it doesn't grasp anything, it dries out. It's dead. So what we recommend first is using a power seeder. Now, if you're at Home Depot or you're at a rental place and they try to give you a thatcher with a seeder attachment, no go. Don't waste your money. That you want a piece of equipment where a slit seeder and power seeder, true power seeder, is an equipment that has like a row of like skill saw blades in it that cut a groove in the soil. And they actually bring up some thatch, by the way.
That's good.
And there are little tubes that drop the seed directly behind those blades. So the blades open up a little furrow, the seed gets dropped in, and just by the natural action of the soil, it goes and it compacts back around the seed so it can germinate.
Beautiful.
You're going to do a hashtag pattern. You're going to go one way, and then you're going to go the opposite way. And you'll have the fullest, thickest lawn that you've ever had. And another, Julio, core aeration. You're big on core aeration, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And what does core, explain core aeration, if you would.
Core, it's almost like a circular, they take out plugs.
Right.
You know, of the soil. So it sucks it all in that little.
Right. They look like little ends of cigars.
That's right.
Your father was a cigar smoker, right?
Yes, he was.
Doesn't it look like that? Like, you know, what's left in the ashtray?
Yeah.
Except instead of the brown from the cigar, it's dirt.
Dirt. Yeah. So that's,
whoops.
It goes
soil.
Around in a circle, right? In a circular pattern. And it just, you know, grabs that soil and it aerates it. So you'll have the, you know, good drainage and,
And
the water situation is going to be perfect for it.
And what happens is that little plug, you put down the seed, and the seed, you know, it finds its water, finds its own level. Where you put down the seed, and the seed will get taken by the water, and will drop into those new holes that you made, and the plugs will get the soil washed off of them and cover the seed up. Couldn't be better.
Yeah.
And really, the core aerator is something that is definitely overlooked by homeowners.
Yeah.
It's making elbow room for your new grass plants.
It is.
That's what it's doing. It's dividing the roots. Mm-hmm. It's doing a lot of things. Yeah. Now, if you seed in the spring, the most important thing is you be careful about applying the right crabgrass control or no crabgrass control. Because what will happen if you do the wrong one, it will stop the seed from germinating. Yeah, so you want to make sure that you're applying a crabgrass control that you can seed with it. And you make sure that's clear. When you go to your local garden center, make sure you ask that, because it's not going to be the same price. It's going to be more expensive to buy that type of proprietary product, but your seed's going to germinate, and it's still going to prevent the crabgrass. So just be aware. Also, if you're doing it late, like say, you know, I couldn't get till late May, but I want to put my plus two down, or I want to spray my weed killer, you can't do that. You have to wait till the seed has germinated, all of it germinated, and has been cut at least twice. Now, if you're putting down bluegrass, it takes almost 30 days for bluegrass to germinate.
Yeah. Wow.
So that means that, so it's 30 days plus another, say, 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You got almost two months.
Yeah. You
gotta watch. You got almost 2 months before you can apply a dandelion killer or something like that. So just be aware. Now is a good time to do it.
Yeah, do it quickly.
Get the correct type of crabgrass control that you can seed with, and then your timing will be right for that next type of weed and feed, or, you know, you can skip it. Weed and feed can be put down almost any time. So you don't, it's not like the whole step program, throw it out the window, because it's created this urgency that doesn't exist. There's only crabgrass that you have to put down now. The other stuff can be put down anytime, so don't get too crazy with, you know, worrying about it. It's like, wait a minute, it's time for step two. If you've got weeds, it's time to do step two. If you don't have weeds, just let it go. You know, you can always do them later. So I don't know.
It's good advice, Julio. yeah I like the fact that we don't have to, you know, rush into stuff, you know,
right,
or do the step, you know, 1, 2, did I miss step 3?
The ultimate marketing plan has been the Scott Step Program, and it's been a really great thing, but it false insecurity that you think that 4 steps are going to really cure your lawn problems. The other thing is the timing. The only thing that you need timing right is crabgrass
coming up.
So just be aware. All right, we're running late, so we got to take another break, and we'll be right back right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
See me and Julio.
We're right here.
Another schooled episode of Bloomers in the Garden. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
We will be here the same time next week.
Yes.
So we'll see you in the garden.
We are going to see you in the garden.